Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
In Acts 20, verse 24, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "But none of these things move me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained from which was entrusted to me by the Lord Jesus, faithfully to attest to the good news, the gospel of God's grace, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessing, and mercy."
You know, that's a powerful passage of scripture. And in that verse, Acts 20, 24, there's actually seven reasons that nothing should move us.
Hallelujah.
Number one, none of these things shall move me. The Apostle Paul was not moved by a shipwreck. He was not moved by being beaten and whipped for no good reason, being persecuted, imprisoned, and publicly humiliated. He was not moved by a snake wrapping itself around his hand. He was not moved by the doubts or disappointment of those with whom he had worked, even though his heart was grieved for them. There was only one thing only, that moved the Apostle Paul. And that was completing his assignment with joy, doing the thing that God called him to do.
The Classic Amplified Bible translation of Psalm 16, verse 8 says, "I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved."
The Lord said to be continually before us. We're not just to set before God in tough times, good times, when we need him and when we don't. According to dictionary.com, the word continually is an action adverb that means habitually, without cessation, or intermission. The New Living Translation of Psalm 16:8 says it this way: "I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he's right beside me." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When we put the Lord first, when we set him above other things and people, we have the confidence in knowing that he's always with us. Not only is he always with us, but Hebrews 13:5, it says, "I will never leave nor forsake thee." Let's go just a little further and look at the second key point in Psalm 16:8 in the New International Version. It says, "I will not be shaken." Once again, here's how it says it in the Amplified Translation: "I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." Why aren't we moved?
Because he is at our right hand.
Hallelujah.
Number two, the next part of the scripture says, "Nor do I count my life dear to myself." Some people read Acts 20:24 and think that you should never strive to accomplish anything because you're not to live your life to yourself. Well, that's somewhat foolishness. Paul did not say that his life was invaluable. It says that he just wanted to live his life not dear to himself. In other words, his life had a higher calling. In Mark 8:35 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "For whoever wants to save his higher spiritual eternal life will lose it. The lower natural temporal life, which is lived only on earth, and whosoever gives up his life, which is lived only on earth, for my sake and the gospel's, will save it, his higher spiritual life, in the eternal kingdom of God." With Mark 8:35 in mind, let's look at Acts 20:24 in the Message Bible. It says, "What matters most to me is to finish what God started, the job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know all about this incredibly extravagant generosity of God. And what matters is that we finish what we start. In Acts 20, 24, in the New Living Translation, it says it this way: "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news and the wonderful grace, and all, excuse me, about the wonderful grace of God."
Hallelujah. Number three, two words: if only. If only is the battle cry of those who woulda, coulda, or shouldn't, should've, but didn't. The children of Israel said, "If only we had enough to eat." Yet they forgot the one who delivered and provided for them. Not only that, the children of Israel had access to the one who delivered them. Having access is no consequence unless you act on what you have. Imagine having the key to a brand new Audi A8. I can imagine that very easily. But the access to this luxury ride wouldn't do you any good unless you turn on the ignition switch. If only is often the lament over what might have been without regard for what can still be. There have been times in my life, I won't say ours, but I'll say mine, times in my life when I could have said, "I told you so," to someone who ignored my advice. And you could have said that to me without warning or instruction. I can tell you truthfully, I get absolutely no satisfaction in saying, "I told you so," because it means somebody messed up. Proverbs 5, verses 12 through 14. 5, 12 through 14. The Living Bible. And you say, "Oh, if only I'd listened. If only I had not demanded my own way. Oh, why wouldn't I take advice? Why was I so stupid? For now, I must face public disgrace." If there's someone you admire, someone you respect, someone whose advice you found to be solid and on time, listen to the things they're speaking into your life. If only you will ask. That's A period, S period, K period. Matthew 7:8, Living Bible. "For everyone who asks, receives. Anyone who seeks, finds. If only you will knock, the door will be open." I think it's significant. The word ASK is an acronym for ask, seek, and knock. James 4:2, New Living Translation. "Yet you don't have what you want because you didn't ask God for it." Proverbs 11:27 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "He who diligently seeks good sees God's favor, but he who searches after evil, it shall come upon him." Revelation 3:20, New Living Translation. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we will share a meal together as friends." If only you'll ask, seek, and knock, you will receive the benefits of his blessings.
Number four, be a finisher. Have you ever started a project or assignment or a job with a sudden burst of enthusiasm, only to be slowed down by obstacle after obstacle and then stopping short of the goal by continual obstacles? Well, congratulations, because you're average. But you don't have to stay that way for the rest of your life. Those who rise above the crowd are the ones who go the extra mile while others are relaxing in front of television. The strength of a person's character and drive to success is determined by whether or not they can finish what they started. Employees who complete the task are more highly valued than those who, though they make a great effort, don't ever get the project completed. The one by whom our every effort, thought, and action should be measured was definitely a finisher, though. In John 4, verse 34, New Living Translation, it said, "Then Jesus explained, 'My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work.'" Not only was Jesus a finisher, but he made us that way as well. That's in our genes and in our DNA, right?
Absolutely.
In Philippians 1, verse 6, New Living Translation, it says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." On Judgment Day, we want to be able to say the words found in 2 Timothy 4:7. This I'm reading from the Classic Amplified. In 2 Timothy 4:7, it says, "I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firm, heldly the faith."
Hallelujah. I came along at the right time.
Both say hallelujah.
We're not going to finish this today. But this whole concept of not letting nothing, seven reasons nothing, should move you. One of the things we're going to talk about on tomorrow's call is focus. One of the reasons people get moved is they don't focus on what's important. They don't focus on their priorities. So we're going to talk about that on tomorrow's call. And I believe that conversation will be a blessing to you. I want to say one other thing. You may have received an email from us about something we're going to do on Labor Day.
That's right.
Honey, we've done this now.
How many years?
24 years. Every Labor Day, we pray for those who need a job, a better job, an increase in pay, an increase in income, retirement,
yes,
investments. We've done it, and we've had so, so many miracles happen over that time period.
Mm.
But about 3 days ago, the Lord stirred us to do it again.
Do it again.
And that's what we're going to do. So look for the email we're sending out, and we'll be talking about it again probably tomorrow's call. But just know that we want you to be a part of our Labor Day prayer time. And, you know, we need to be, let me just say this too. We don't take and put thousands of requests in one big pile and sprinkle oil on the top and lay hands on it. When we pray on days like Labor Day, we call out every specific request.
That's right. I think that's one of the reasons that it's so powerful, is because when you spend hours in prayer, and you're not always for sure able to do that, when you spend hours in prayer, then you get a connection going that's just powerful.
Yes, it is.
I mean, really.
Yes, it is. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heraldhearing.com. Click on the button that says Soul Seed. Ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you.
Happy trails.
And keep thinking.
Rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.